Church, welcome to St. John's Live. Really happy to have you joining us again this week online for our Sunday morning worship. Just a few things to bring to your attention in regard to announcements. The first is on September 10th via Zoom, our own Lynn Matthews is going to be leading a Bible study with the title Stand. It's a look at Paul's work through Romans, Philippians, and Thessalonians. If you would like to be a part of that group, and there's some materials that you would need, so you want to go ahead and register, just reach out to Liz in our office. You can email her at liz@stjohnsjackson.org, or you can give the office a call anytime, Monday through Thursday, and we'll make sure that you get registered for that course, that you have the links to sign to be able to sign into the classes, and that you know who else will be involved in the course and how. I think it runs 10 weeks. So would love to have you join Lynn and her crew for that. On September 19th, Saturday, we have another St. John's Episcopal Church Habitat for Humanity Work Day. The Grove is in its very last phase of construction. It's so exciting to see more than 20 units of housing being added to the housing stock here in Jackson, and you, St. John's, have done a tremendous job at helping fund and build and pray for those homes and those families who will occupy those homes. If you would like to be a part of that construction crew, and they could use a few extra hands, that's Saturday, September 19th. And then on September 22nd, from 11 to 5, here at the church, we're sponsoring another blood drive with the Red Cross of America. We're looking not only for those of you who would be willing to donate blood, but also for a few volunteers who could help us staff that day. It's September 22nd, 11 to 5. If you could do that or you're inclined to do it, give us a buzz here at the office and ask for Liz or shoot liz@stjohnsjackson.org. an email to let her know, and we'll put you in touch with Carol and the rest of the crew who are organizing that blood drive for St. John's and for our Jackson community at large. After the ringing of a bell and a moment of quiet, we'll begin our Sunday morning worship.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbors as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 119 together. Teach me,
O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end.
Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law.
I shall keep it with all my heart.
Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make to those who fear you. Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments. In your righteousness, preserve my life. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
Lord Christ.
Jesus said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Man, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. So I'm going to talk to us a little bit about the continuing story that we've been looking at in Matthew's gospel. Before I'll do that, I'll remind you that, and this is a bit of a disclaimer, I suppose, that over the, maybe maybe it was a year or so ago, and I preached a sermon, and I used this analogy of some of the process around the formation of a star. And when I did that, one of you came to me and said, like, and I suppose that one of you is an astronomer or an amateur astronomer, said, like, pretty close, preacher, but not quite. To which I think I responded, well, I'm a preacher, not an astronomer, and I will change the facts of the story if it makes the story better so that you might listen to it and I might be able to make my point. And I'm going to do that again today. I'm going to dangerously use an analogy where I have very little formal schooling. I do not hold a master's in business administration. I've never been to business school. And in fact, the only schooling that I have in business to some degree is the school of hard knocks, in that I was the founder of a church in 2006, right before the economy crashed in 2008, and stayed there in that place until 2016. So I do have some sense of what it's like to build a business or what it's like to build an organization. And I'm really looking at this story this week through this like business school, B school case study model. Like, could we look at you know, say Matthew 14 through 18 and then maybe even beyond from there as a case study for B school? And so what the point that I'm trying to make is that Jesus is a visionary, and Jesus is casting this vision for the transformation of an institution or work that is before not just the disciples and not just those who are on the inside of religious practice, but for all of creation. And I say visionary, and I want to make a distinction there before I move on. There is a difference between visionary and dreamer. And as I see the difference, a visionary is a dreamer who is also a leader. So going back to last week, our conversation, Brian, a leader being someone who can both humbly and competently move a group of people from a lower purpose to a higher purpose. So a visionary is someone who can dream big dreams and cast a vision in such a compelling way that people might be moved from a lower purpose to a higher purpose. And so that's how I'm viewing this story. So take us back several weeks ago, we were at that feeding of the 5,000, and I was like, I really don't see this as a miracle story, even though there's a miracle right there and it's what we talk about. I really see this as Jesus casting a new vision, that it's not this vertical God that we're waiting on to deliver us some news, to give us a rule or a commandment or a new function to do, but there's this horizontal flat thing that's happening that feels fresh and new, though it's echoed in the Old Testament. It's Jesus saying, you do it. You give them something to eat. And then we went back through the story and we're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? He's not sending these folks back to Jerusalem just yet. He's sending them across the Sea to Galilee, to this incredibly fertile place. And so what's happening there in the terms of a business model is, you know, the disciples are under the assumption, the false assumption, that they're going alongside Jesus to march down to Jerusalem and put up a sign that says under new management. And that they're going to go into that place and they're going to reform it in a compelling way for the same constituency of people. And Jesus is like, no, man, we're scaling this thing. We are going to be reaching out to customer bases that you never even dreamed you would encounter in this work. So instead of going to Jerusalem and hanging that banner out in front of the restaurant, they move out to this fertile place. And then we remember they move up into Tyre and Sidon and they engage this Canaanite woman, this outsider, this totally new customer. And it's happening, right? Jesus is teaching them that in fact they will be doing the work. And then in that next beat that we had the following Sunday, We had that wonderful exchange between Jesus and Peter. Jesus asked the disciples, who do they say that I am? And Jesus says, you know, you are the Son of God. And he says, Peter, it's not about who I am. That was just the opening of the conversation. It's about you. You are the rock. Y'all are the rock upon which I will build, scale this movement so that a chosen people really is transformed into a people called out, across the globe who are able to clearly and compellingly articulate that each of us has belovedness sewn into our identity. So that's the vision part. And what any of us know who've been involved in any kind of building of business or managing a business or maintaining a business, vision's sometimes easy. The next step, harder, right? Vision to implementation. And so there are two beats that come right after vision. And that's a plan for implementation, and then also an emphasis with the constituency on accommodating change. Like, be comfortable, get comfortable with change. And so last week was the plan for implementation. You know, the disciples are reeling with this wonderful exchange for Jesus, like, wow, this is our work, we're engaged in it. Peter's gonna be the leader, but we're all coming in alongside. And then Jesus drops this implementation plan in front of them. And he says, so how this is gonna work is that the Son of Man has to go down to Jerusalem and be handed over to the chief priests and scribes. And then he has to be beaten, and then he has to die so that he can rise again on the third day. And Peter is the one who is not ready to embrace change, right? Mm-hmm. No, that cannot happen, Lord. And Jesus, I think with a gentle and somewhat humorous touch, rather than an angry, rebuking tone, comes to Peter and says, no, man, get behind me, Satan. Like, just listen. And then what we get, which you don't hear from last week to this week, there are all these teachings in there that are familiar to us about children. He says, you know, unless you become like one of these little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom. This idea that if we don't embrace change, if we don't embrace the curiosity and the flexibility that children embody so well, this plan might not work. So that's kind of the ending of last week, and then a little of the in-between that comes in this book. And then this week, the lectionary delivers us this passage on forgiveness, about how people reconcile. And if we're thinking about this business school case study, and we think about vision to implementation, the idea of a visionary person taking that vision and making it into something real. The very next beat that you would get in that B school manual is like, well, you need an operations model. You need an operating model for how this is really going to work. So you need that vision to be clear and compelling. You need that leader who is a visionary and can lead people from humbly and competently from a lower purpose to a higher purpose. You need some sense of like, what are our first few steps, a plan for implementation. You need a lot of flexibility, an openness and a willingness to embrace change. And then you need the specifics, like the meat and potatoes. And that's the operating model. So for me, when I'm reading this passage, I'm like, I get it. I see that Jesus's operating model is mercy. If you are wondering how we affect ourselves, how we move through our relationships, how we engage the work that is before us as we are co-creating the kingdom with either Jesus in terms of the disciples or with the Holy Spirit in our case, then our operating model becomes one of mercy. And so my question for the two of you today is, if this operating model that we are inheriting from this visionary leader, Jesus, is mercy, how does mercy come into play in your lives?
I have received mercy upon mercy my whole life. You know, I mean, I don't want to say that I didn't deserve it because I don't think that it's transactional, which is what I always like cringe a little bit about this business model thing, only because of the transactionality that we sort of have inherited with it. But I love the way you work through that. But
there's a business school grad that's like climbing the walls right now.
That's right? Really cringing right now.
It's not factual.
Yeah, for sure. But I have been the recipient of more mercy than I can even account for. You know, I mean, my whole life, people have given me second chances. Mm. God has given me second, third, fourth, fifth chances. And I believe will continue to give me more and more chance. There are enough chances for me personally in my life, in the past, the present, and the future. So, I mean, that's why I think I'm kind of called, and it's maybe a little easier for me than for some who have maybe not needed mercy quite as badly as I have, or who have not been given mercy, because there are plenty of people that have not been given the mercy that was their rightful inheritance as children of God. Maybe that's why it's a little easier for me than some to extend mercy to others, to give others that second chance, to maybe go a little softer when somebody screws up, and we all do plenty. So I'm a big fan of mercy.
I would argue that really all of us need as much mercy as you've been given in your life, and maybe it is there and some of us aren't able to accept it or see it welcome it into our hearts.
Back to that burning bush, like mercy is everywhere.
Right.
We just have to direct our gaze
toward
it.
Exactly right.
Last week.
I can't help but listen to all of this and think about this time I've just spent traveling about and seeing this, you know, passion and faith and fear and anger and so many emotions everywhere we went, right? And realizing as you're talking that we need to show mercy to one another. Whatever happens, wherever we go, if we are able to move forward into that vision. And the piece that I think I would also say is important is the part of the work that Jesus is doing with the disciples, which is freeing them to go out empowering them to go out into what I said a few weeks ago. Jesus is like the best boss you ever had,
right?
Who just says, here's what we need, go and do it, and frees people to do that. But there's this sense of mercy that we need to all show each other as a across the state so that we are freed up to follow that vision and to move into that next phase of wherever we are going as a people. I hadn't thought of it in those ways as I was walking along, meeting people along the way, but there are so many emotions that people are hanging on to that are keeping them from really soaring, and that the mercy that we give to them and that they give to us is really critical for living into that vision, to that dream. And I agree, a vision and leadership is about having a dream and then figuring out how we're going to get there together. Because mm-hmm. otherwise it becomes kind of a pipe dream, right? Mm-hmm. Or a fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we are all, you know, what Jesus taught us is you can't dream too big.
Right.
Anything is possible.
Do you all feel, and maybe it's just me, but I feel like this is the step where we get hung up as a church, that we can see the vision pretty clearly. And we are willing to be led by Jesus or the partnering Holy Spirit into this life of love. We have some sense, story-wise, of how it happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're less willing, but still willing enough to embrace some measure of change, mm-hmm. that there's an openness about it. At least we're listening.
Mm-hmm. We're hearing that part of it.
Right.
But then when it comes to this operating model, I think we're less, like, this is the step for us to begin to soften as a people and to engage mercy in a practical way. Do you all feel that?
I do, I think that maybe one of the reasons that we have a hard time getting there is that first we've got to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First we have to pick up our own cross.
Mm-hmm.
And first we actually have to follow a leader who is going to take us through the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's maybe what holds us back mm-hmm. a little bit. It would be nice if we could skip straight from, I don't remember what you identified as the movement right before the journey to Jerusalem, but straight from there to the operating manual of mercy, of giving mercy to each other as our God-given gift.
Yeah.
But our human nature is to be fearful and be resistant to change. I mean, mm-hmm. that is, so it's letting go of that, and maybe we have to go through the crucifixion and pick up our own cross to get to the place where we can give and accept mm-hmm. mercy truly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a critical step that we cannot skip, because mm-hmm. now we know how deeply we need mercy mm-hmm. and how deeply we need to give mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if it does us that much good to receive mercy, it calls us to give it mm-hmm. to others.
Amen.
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 So, homework for this week. I would like you to think about mercy as a two-way street. And when I was having a conversation over email with Brian this morning, and I asked him a little bit about mercy, Brian talked about receiving mercy right mm-hmm. away, just as he did in our conversation. And when I wrote it to him, I was thinking about giving mercy.
Right.
And so, I would just say, get on the road. It doesn't matter which direction you're traveling. If you are traveling or you need to travel in the direction of receiving mercy, then go for it. Someone out there this week is going to willingly give you an opportunity to receive mercy. And what I'm inviting you to do is just to accept it. If you find yourself traveling in the opposite direction, and you see in front of you there's some opportunity to give mercy, then maybe put your toe in that this week. Give it a shot.
Great.
I've been looking for a sound that makes my heart sing. Been looking for a melody that makes the church bells ring. Not looking for the fame or the fortune it might bring. In love, in music, in life. Jesus preached the golden rule. Buddha taught it too. Gandhi said, I'm for and I makes the whole world go blind with a little understanding. We can break these chains that we've been handed. I've got the medication. Love is the remedy. Pray to be stronger and wiser. Know you get what you give. Love one another. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've been thinking about the mark that I'll be leaving. Been looking for a truth I can believe in. Got everything I need. Let this heart be my guide in love, in music, in life. I'm not saying I'm a wise man. Heaven knows there's much that I'm still finding, making my way down this winding road. Holding on to what I love, and then leaving the rest behind in love, in music, in life. I pray to be stronger and wiser. Know you get what you give. Love one another. We're all in this world together. Life's a gift that we have to treasure. Happiness now, that is the measure. Love is a remedy.
Love is a remedy.
Everyone can be forgiven. One love and one religion. Open up your heart and listen. Love is a remedy.
Love is a remedy.
I pray to be stronger and wiser. Know you get what you give. God is love, one another. Amen.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now let's say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in
one God,
the Father of the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of one being with the Father.
Through him all things were made,
for us and for our salvation.
He came down from heaven.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary
and was made man.
For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven
and is seated
at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son.
With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified.
He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
With all our heart and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power, let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God, O God, in your goodness.
Hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Ken, Betsy, Mark, Eric, Paul, Carol, Rebecca, Shelley, Holly, Stan, Mari, Megan, Melissa, Gail, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Anne Marie, Ned, Bonnie, Julie, Mary, Sue, John, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Emily and John, Kelly, Sue, Susie, the Shore Gutierrez family, Stephen, Dee Dee, Mary, Thomas, Nikki, Kim, Tim, Jay, John, Jean, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy and compassion in unity, that we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays. Steve, Katie, Brian, Clay, Bet, Biz, Alicia, Fran, Gary, AJ, Sims, Lucy, Bob, Ellie, and those celebrating anniversaries, Dave and Kelly, Leo and Beverly, Ernie and Francis, Randall and Tricia, Rod and Annie, Fred and Daryl. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, giver of every good gift, look graciously on your church and so guide the minds of those who shall choose a bishop for this diocese, that we may receive a faithful pastor who will care for your people and equip us for our ministries through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your most mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
A prayer for healing. God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, Help us to see in this moment the pain and suffering our sisters and brothers are subjected to, and give us the will to right the wrongs we have done by our actions and our inactions. Ease the pain of all your people. Help us also to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen. Let's say together the prayer for communion. A God of love,
we thank you for bringing us together in this place, on this day, to honor and to celebrate you and your people, the living, loving body of Christ. Jesus told his disciples, "Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Bless this gathering as a sacramental rite, a visible sign of your love for us and our love for one another. Even in the absence of the bread and wine, let us feed on you, your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in our hearts with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.
May our hearts feel the song of the meadowlark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross in all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia,
alleluia,
alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.